Before we start this morning, say this after me. Say, I have ears that hear, eyes that see, and a heart that receives the incorruptible word today. Okay, so we're talking about the power of a seed, and I have here a whole bucket of sunflower seeds. So I'm well and truly loaded with seed. I have plenty seed here. So it's called the power of a seed. Let me ask you this morning, what do you think makes seed so powerful? Because it's relatively obscure, it's generally small, it's not beautiful, and yet all seed holds within it a miracle because it produces life. If I put a seed, if I take this sunflower seed and I put it in the soil today, it will produce a sunflower. And as I was, the Holy Spirit clearly gave me this message. He downloaded this for me. And he gave me three words, and these are the three words that he gave me. He said, a seed has inherent, perpetual, exponential power. So what is inherent power? Well, inherent power means that within the seed itself is the DNA to reproduce the plant that it came from. It's inherent within that seed. It comes prepackaged so that it can reproduce itself. And then it has perpetual power. What does that mean? That means that the seed has the power to reproduce itself ad infinitum. It never comes to an end. The seed that was planted at the beginning of time is still reproducing today. That same seed, it has perpetual power. And then seed has exponential power. And that means that the harvest is out of all proportion to the seed that is planted. To explain that, let me use an example. If I took a pomegranate and I opened that pomegranate to reveal the seeds, on average there are 613 seeds in a pomegranate. Now if I take just one of those seeds and plant it, water it, and nurture it, in time I'm going to have a pomegranate tree. And that pomegranate tree is going to produce fruit. Now let's assume really conservatively that it produces 10 pomegranates, which is conservative. I have a pomegranate tree and I get dozens and dozens and dozens of pomegranates every year. Now, if I open those pomegranates and plant those seeds, how many will I have? 6,130 seeds will I now have to plant from one seed. If I plant that seed and reap just 10 pomegranates, I'll now have 613,000 seeds. Now, just the third time that I take that seed, this is just the third seed that I am taking to plant, it will give me 375,769,000 seeds. That's exponential growth. And that's what's hidden in the power of a seed. Now, all life begins with a seed. There is absolutely no life without a seed. Every plant, every animal, every herb, every human being began life by a seed. And locked into every single seed is the creative power placed there by God to reproduce after its own kind, perpetually, exponentially. Inside every one of the seeds that it ever gets planted is the ability to reproduce forever. So the fruit that God planted in the Garden of Eden 6,000 years ago is still producing a harvest today. The same fruit, the same trees, the same plants, the same animals are still reproducing today, because inside every single seed is an unlimited harvest, because that's how our God is. He doesn't just give you enough. He always gives more than enough. He always gives a full supply. Now, how do we know that this is the way God wants to do stuff? In Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 11, it says, God said, let the earth produce plants, Some plants will make grain for seeds, others will make fruit with seeds in it, and every seed will produce more of its own kind of plant. And it happened. Every single seed has within it the power to reproduce, and that's what God did. And it's true of every single species on the planet. Every plant, every animal, even mankind has within themselves the DNA to provide an unlimited harvest. And God creates Adam now. That was Genesis chapter verse 11. So that's right in the beginning as God is creating the earth. Now he creates Adam, and he takes Adam and he says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. It's an instruction. So if God is giving Adam an instruction, he has to give him the tools to fulfill that instruction. And the very next verse says, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, it shall be for you food. If God had asked Adam to replenish and to populate the earth and not given him seed, it would have been impossible. Seed time and harvest is the way God does stuff. He gives you seed so that you can have a harvest. And then in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. The earth is still around. Last I looked, it was still spinning around the sun and on its own axis. That means that seed time and harvest is still around. It's still the way God is doing things. So we see right in the beginning that God establishes the way for increase is through seed time and harvest, or sowing and reaping. He gave us a system. He said to Adam, you want to increase? This is a system you're going to have to use, seed time and harvest. And it's how God does everything that he does. God does everything that he does through seed time and harvest. Basically, seed has been given orders from God to reproduce itself. Inside every seed is DNA, which is an order from God. You will reproduce after your own kind. That's what God did. Now, there's natural seed that we can see, handle, feel. This is sunflower seed. Hundreds and thousands of sunflower seeds in this bucket. But there's also spiritual seed. There's also supernatural seed. And there's also seed that we cannot see. God created the earth with words. Peter tells us that God's word is incorruptible seed. So God used his word as seed to create everything that you can see. But remember that seed only reproduces after its own kind. So when he wanted sons and daughters, he had to plant something with the same DNA. And he gave Jesus. He literally gave Jesus as a seed to reproduce you and I. If you think that that is a stretch, let me read you John chapter 12 and verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Jesus was saying this just before he went to the cross. He was saying, I have to die so that there can be more fruit. And we are the result of that fruit today. You cannot plant acorns and expect apples. You can't plant strife and expect peace. And God wanted more children, so he had to plant Jesus. Everything we have, everything you have, and everything you are has the potential to reproduce. It is seed. It has the potential to reproduce. I'm going to look at some examples of things that we may never have thought of as seed. First and foremost, thoughts are seeds. Your thoughts are seeds. Everything you do, every action that you take begins with a seed thought. This message began with a seed thought, with three words: inherent, perpetual, exponential seed. God planted them, and so this began as a seed thought. And actually, thoughts are probably the most critical of all seeds because no other seed can be planted without it starting here. It precedes all action. Your thoughts precede all action. So I decide if I'm going to plant that seed or not. And there are some seeds that should not be planted. There are seeds of unforgiveness, seeds of bitterness. There are some seeds that are bad seeds. They are thoughts that are planted there, probably by Satan. Remember, he's out to corrupt your good seed. He's out to steal your good seed. And he wants to give you bad seed to sow so that he can have the crop that he desires. So it's up to you. You can allow that thought to materialize and plant that action if it's good. Or you can say, I'm not planting that because I don't want that harvest. Because, you know, there's something about a seed. All future depends on the seeds you plant. Your entire future depends on the seeds you plant. Seed always has to do with the future. The other thing that we may not think of as words, as seed, is words. And we all know, in this church anyway, that negative words produce death and positive words produce life. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. And we know that Jesus, the word of God, is incorruptible seed. The word tells us that. What about our actions? Can those be seed? You know, you can sow an act of kindness or you can sow an act of malice. You can sow an act of generosity or of stinginess. And each of those will produce after their own kind. I found four scriptures that I have to read you because they were completely mind-bending to me. Job chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "As I myself have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble and mischief reap the same." Notice, reproduces after its own kind. Hosea 8:7, "For they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind." Notice they sowed wind, but they reaped so much more. They reaped the whirlwind. Now look at what Hosea 10:12 says. "Sow for yourselves according to righteousness." So now we got some good seed to sow. "And reap according to mercy and loving kindness." And then James 3:18 says, "And peacemakers who sow seed in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." There's powerful seed out there in our hands. And then, of course, money is seed. Who knew? There really is a money tree. Come on, kids. If you were grown up, didn't your parents say to you, money doesn't grow on trees? Haven't we heard that? Tell them they're wrong. It really does, because when you sow money, you get money. You cannot sow beans and reap money. Remember, there's DNA in that seed that has to produce after its own kind. Proverbs 11 and verse 25 says, "The generous man is a source of blessing and shall be prosperous and enriched. And he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity he has sown." Now, this next scripture, I'm not even going to comment on. I'm just going to read. And I'm going to let the word speak for itself. Sin is seed. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. "Sin is a seed that brings a harvest. You reap a heap of trouble with every seed you plant. For your investment in sin pays a full return, the full punishment you deserve." Don't think you can get away with sin and not reap a harvest. So clearly from this, anything can be a seed. Anything can be a seed. And we've seen that there are good seeds and bad seeds. And with the power of our decision, with those thoughts, we are able to choose what kind of seed we plant. Because you do need to know that the seed you plant will reproduce after its own kind. And only its own kind. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "Make no mistake about it. God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. So when you look around and you see wealthy people and you think that's just not fair, know that they planted seed for that crop. Know that they planted seed for that crop. When you see somebody with a happy family, know that they planted kindness. Know that they planted consideration. Know that they planted love. And that's the reason they have the harvest. Now, all the sower does is sow the word. Sow the seed. Or the word. If I take the seed, it doesn't matter how much I have. If I don't plant it, it's not going to grow. But once it hits the soil, I don't have to do anything about it anymore. It's there. No, all things being equal. All things being equal. Let me correct that. It gets the water. It gets whatever it needs. But I can't make that I cannot make that seed grow. There's nothing I can do. It's not within my power to make the seed grow. All I do is sow it, irrespective of the kind of seed I sow. Doesn't matter if it's sunflower seeds, bean seeds, or kindness. If I sow the seed, the DNA within it will begin to operate and make it grow. It is simply obeying the law that was put within it. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground. Notice the kingdom of God is like seed too. And then he continues sleeping and rising night and day. While the seed sprouts and grows and increases, he knows not how. Clearly, he had nothing to do with the growth of that seed. Now, the other thing, as I said, is seed only reproduces when it is sown. It doesn't matter how much seed I have. I have a whole bucket of seed here. But if I do not plant the seed, it's not going to grow. The interesting thing is it has to leave my sight. It has to leave my possession. And it has to die. It has to be buried out of sight for this seed to grow. If I keep it on my coffee table or I keep this outside, there will be no harvest. If I don't let go of the apple seed and plant it, no apple trees. There'll be no tomatoes, no people, no animals. Because every single seed has to be planted in the earth or in the womb of an animal or a person before it grows. And that's where the miraculous takes place. It's not while it's in my hand. It's only when I let it go. It's only when I let it go that I release the miraculous DNA and the perpetual inherent exponential power in that seed. Some of you today are holding on to your money so tight that that seed cannot reproduce. You have no trust in the inherent, perpetual, exponential power in that money because you are holding it so tight. You're looking at your seed. You're counting your seed. You're wondering if you're going to have enough seed, but you're not letting it go, and so you're not releasing the power inherent in that seed to reproduce. Some of you are holding on to bitterness so hard, and then you're wondering, you have a beef with your dad. You have unforgiveness rooted in your heart, and then you're wondering why your children have bitterness towards you. Some of you are wondering why there's no respect in your marriage. It's because you never sow any. Because you see, only when the seed is sown is there a harvest. But it's true of all seed, good seed, bad seed. physical seed, natural seed, spiritual seed, the word of God, it doesn't matter. Until you plant it, it cannot reproduce. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 36 says, "You foolish man, every time you sow something that does not come to, you sow something, it comes to life, germinating, springing up, and growing." Sorry, I'm reading this all wrong. "You foolish man, every time you plant seed, you sow something that does not come to life, germinating, springing up, and growing, unless it dies first. Because unless you sow the seed, the unlimited harvest cannot be activated, and it cannot be reaped." Remember that God put the principle of seed time and harvest on the earth, and it's based on increase. It's based on increase. Now, the size of the seed you sow has no bearing on the size of the harvest. The largest tree in the world is the giant sequoia, and the one that's still living is about 2,000 years old, and it's just under 400 feet tall. That's a very tall, big tree. And yet the seed that produced that tree is the size of a flake of oatmeal. Pretty small. Sometimes we sow seeds that seem imperceptible and insignificant to us. The smallest seed in the world is, in fact, not the mustard seed, but an orchid. The seed is so fine that it's finer than dust and only visible under a microscope. And yet within that fine, fine seed is the same inherent, perpetual, exponential power. Sometimes just a word or a prayer or a smile can be the only seed that's necessary to sow a harvest, to reap a harvest that's beyond all proportion to the size of the seed sown. Let me tell you a story. There was a young man who was in high school. He was pretty much the nerdy guy, new guy, was always moving, didn't have any friends, a bit of a loner. And he was walking home from school one day when he dropped his books. And right next to him came the quarterback from the football team, the cool guy. And he picked up the books and handed them to him and walked alongside him, only to discover that they didn't live very far apart, and a really unlikely friendship developed. Fast forward a couple of years, and the young man that was really nerdy was graduating valedictorian. And as he made his speech, not from high school but from college, as he made his speech, he stood up and he gave thanks to his friend, the quarterback, and he said, "I want to thank him because he never knew what he did that day when he picked up my books. I was on my way home to commit suicide. This is a true story. But because he came alongside me, I'm here today." Don't underestimate the size of your seed. Don't underestimate the size of your seed. Harvest never precedes sowing. And I kind of wondered about that. I thought, why did God do that? I mean, he could have just continued planting trees, right? He could have. He planted the first lot of trees that then produced seed. He could have just continued planting. But I believe it's so that we would learn to trust his principles of sowing and reaping. It's so that we would have to learn to trust what he does when we plant the seed. Because you see, it's really not too difficult for me to plant these sunflower seeds. I've seen the evidence. I've seen the sunflowers that grow as a result. And it's much easier to take the bean seed and put it in the ground. But when it takes that money that I am leaning on so hard, it's a little harder. But it requires the same trust in God, that he is the God of seed time and harvest, of sowing and reaping. I have to trust in the inherent, perpetual, exponential power in that seed. I have to trust that that seed will obey the law of God and produce after its own kind. I have to sow what I have. Remember the lady, the widow woman with the two mites? What if she had held on tightly and said, this is the only seed I have. I'm not letting it go. Well, those two mites released the inherent, perpetual, exponential harvest because she trusted God. Because when you sow your seed, what it does is it anchors your trust in God and the unseen principle of sowing and reaping. It emphasizes your trust in God's ability to multiply the seed sown exponentially so that we have more to sow. Because the principle of seed time and harvest is based on increase. Now, the devil knows the power of a seed. Trust me, he knows the power of a seed. In fact, he was so afraid of the seed that he killed all the boys when Moses was born and once again when Jesus was born. Why? Because he was terrified of the power of the seed. Seed always has to do with the future. And the devil will work very hard to stop you sowing good seed. Or he'll do his best to steal your seed. Or corrupt your seed. Seed affects the next generation. If you think your seed has no effect on the next generation, let me tell you another story. You've all heard about the Hatfields and the McCoys, right? Yes? Everybody know who the Hatfields and the McCoys are? Okay. Well, the Hatfields and the McCoys were two families who lived in the mid-1800s who had an incredible family feud that still goes on today. More than 100 years later, this family still does not talk to each other. Not only do they not talk to each other, they will walk to the other side of the street if they see a family member from the other family. There was a lot of murder involved. There was a lot of, got so out of hand. But the thing that really got me was the way it started. The Hatfields and the McCoys lived in two adjacent counties. And at some point, there was a dispute about a hog, a pig. The Hatfields claimed it was theirs because of the notches in the ears. And the McCoys claimed it was theirs. And that started the dispute that lasted 100 years or more, where there were murders. They murdered members of each other's family. So if you think that the seed that you sow, that seed of hatred, is still producing exponentially today. If you do not mend your relationships with your parents, with your children, with somebody that you are holding unforgiveness against, that is the harvest you can expect. It's the harvest you can expect. I urge you today, I know because the Holy Spirit showed me, there are people who need to pick up the phone today and call your father and forgive him. You need to do it today, today, and change the seed. Change the seed so that you change your harvest. Because you see, it's not our ability to sow that stops the harvest. It's our unwillingness to let go of what's in our hand or in our heart. Everybody can sow. Everybody can give. It has nothing to do with your ability. It has only to do with your will. And if I leave you with this, you cannot stop the law from working. What you sow, you reap. So if you're not going to stop sowing the hatred, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, I guarantee you a harvest of the same. If you are going to hold on to your money seed so tight because you are afraid that you're going to be without, let me guarantee you, you're going to be without. Because it takes trust. You have to release the seed so that God can multiply it. And if you don't like the crop you have today, guys, change the seed. Change the seed. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. You see, I have said repeatedly, you reap what you sow. But let me add one little correction to that. You don't reap what you sow. You reap much more of the same. You reap much, much more of the same. So today I'm urging you to sow what you have. Sow kindness. Sow forgiveness. Sow words of respect in your marriage. Sow hugs. Sow hugs. You don't know what life you're going to change. Let go of your not enough so God can make it more than enough. Let go of your not enough. Let go of your not enough so God can make it more than enough. No matter how insignificant your seed seems to you today, I'm asking you to sow good seed. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.